Civic Media, bringing you news, talk, and community-minded conversations all across Wisconsin. You can find us at civicmedia.us and download the app for free today. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cuska, sports director for Civic Media. Right now, we're airing a Packers, Badgers, Brewers, or Bucks game over the air, but due to our rights agreements, we're not able to stream those games here. Civic Media might be a newer company, but we are dedicated to providing the best in sports coverage. Our team has decades of experience covering sports right here in Wisconsin. We've got Mike Clemens, who covers our state's biggest teams on location and does daily updates on all of our Civic Media stations statewide. Many of our stations have local reporters dedicated to teams in their area, covering their community dozens or even hundreds of times each year. No matter where you're at in Wisconsin, we are committed to covering sports, especially in the communities that our stations serve. And we put all of our local coverage right here on our stream, so you can go ahead and grab the free Civic Media app so you never miss a game at civicmedia.us/app. You can find the game you're looking for over the air, or you can stay tuned right here on the stream for more news, talk, and conversation. Thank you for listening to Civic Media from all of us here on the sports team.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
For 92.7 WMDX News, I'm Savannah Tome Olson. The U.S. Supreme Court is deciding whether to review a Wisconsin case over the issue of gender identity in schools. Judith Ruiz Branch reports.
The case Parents Protecting Our Children versus Eau Claire Area School District asked to strike down a school policy that the parents believe infringes upon their right to make major health-related decisions with their children. The district says its policy was created to provide direction and resources for transgender students and students with questions about their gender identity, including when they don't feel safe or accepted at home. Attorney Haley Archer with the ACLU of Wisconsin says the focus should remain on the children.
I believe one of the reasons that this question is debated is because it is complex. We're balancing the rights of parents, we're balancing the rights of schools, we're balancing the rights of students.
The parent group argues the school policy encourages kids to hide important aspects of their health, like changing pronouns at school. Lower courts have dismissed the case because none of the group's children are involved. Luke Berg with the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty represents Parents Protecting Our Children.
Children who have struggled with this and later come out of it have said, "It was not actually helpful for me to have adults around me affirming that I was really the opposite sex. It actually confused me further." And so this can do harm to children. And in our view, that's why parents need to be involved.
The Wisconsin Office of Children's Mental Health reports nearly half of LGBTQ youth in the state seriously consider suicide. Nationwide, those rates drop significantly for transgender and non-binary youth who feel accepted at home, according to the Trevor Project. For Wisconsin News Connection, I'm Judith Ruiz Branch. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
And this is Civic Media News. I'm Savannah Tome Olson.
It's the Packers and the Lions. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers in primetime again against the 11-1 Detroit Lions at Ford Field. Green Bay will be without defensive back Jaire Alexander and receiver Romeo Doubs, both dealing with injuries. The Lions have two good running backs, the powerful David Montgomery and speedy Jahmyr Gibbs. Packers nickelback Javon Bullard.
I mean, they got two guys, like you said, that can really go. Two different styles of running, two different styles of schemes that they use. So we got to be tied into both of those guys. Each of them are very special.
NBA, the Bucks losing at home to the Atlanta Hawks, 119-104. Giannis led with 30 points, Damian Lillard 25, head coach Doc Rivers.
I thought Giannis and Dame almost tried to will the game, which is probably not good either because exerting so much energy there. So, you know, one thing I wish I had to play like 12 in the first half. I actually talked about that with my staff. I thought we should have done it and kind of got talked out of it.
The Bucks head to Boston to play the Celtics tomorrow night. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
This Civic Media station is currently broadcasting the Packers, Badgers, Brewers, or Bucks over the air. Due to streaming restrictions, we can't provide you the broadcast here. You can find an affiliated station at civicmedia.us to find the game over the air. We'll also have updates on the game and the biggest sports news from Mike Clemens daily on Civic Media stations all across Wisconsin.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
The John and Gordy Show.
Thanks, Joe, for giving us a call this morning.
I'm really not concerned about a trans woman being in the bathroom. Mike Johnson puts this through, right? But then he says the person who's in charge of enforcing this will be the sergeant at arms. You weenie. You absolute weenie. You put this through and then you dump the enforcement on somebody else. Are you kidding? Are we really spending time on this?
Weekday mornings 6 till 8 on 92.7 WMDX and the Civic Media app.
Packers, Badgers, Bucks, and Brewers. Find your favorite team over the air on Civic Media.
Broadcasting across the state of Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and around the world on the Civic Media app, this is the Dom Salvia Show. And now, here's your host, Dom Salvia.
And welcome to the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Have Earl Ingram Jr. joining me today. He's going to be with me all hour. You can check his show out on the Civic Media Radio Network, 8 to 10 a.m. Monday through Friday. Earl, a pleasure to catch up with you. Got Jess PS on the board. You can be with us as well, 855-75-CIVIC. Before we get into perhaps some of the politicking, Earl, we wrapped up the last hour reminiscing about our fandom for the Detroit Lions. And I got to tell you, I mean, for a city that was once the center of the universe, or at least the center of the world. I mean, you know, when the auto industry blew up in Detroit, man, and there's still, you know, remnants of glory there. And they're trying to make a comeback, man. There's a lot of folks moving back into town. I believe Detroit had its first increase in population this last year in like 50 years. Some of the auto industry are reinvesting back into downtown. I'm actually going to be in Michigan this weekend. The train station, they put almost Ford's put almost $1 billion into a technology hub in Michigan. There's a lot going on. Of course, we heard, you know, the Republicans, lots of people trashing Motown. What did Trump say in Detroit? That if he doesn't get elected, the rest of the world is going to look like Detroit. I'm thinking, man, Detroit's making a comeback. And the motto, Earl, Detroit versus everybody. You know, there's a sense of camaraderie coming out of Motown these days. So we got Earl. Okay. Yeah. All right. There we go. Hey, yeah. Earl.
So man, the Motor City.
Yeah.
Detroit, man, in the '60s and the '70s, Detroit was the heartbeat of this nation. And people don't know anything about that. There were so many wealthy people who lived in Detroit because General Motors had to be the number one Fortune 500 company at that point in time. And people who couldn't read or write lived middle-class lifestyles, were able to live the American dream, to own fine homes and have new cars and send their kids to college. All of that took place in Detroit.
Yeah.
As my good friend Gilbert Brown would say, Detroit.
Detroit.
Yeah. But man, Detroit is a place that went through an awful lot. It's on the resurgence. It's took a long time, man. They went block by block, man, just dismantling and tearing down a city that was as prominent as Detroit. You remember those times in the 70s, late 70s, and where they just tore down, man, miles and miles of that.
Well, they would have Devil's Night, during the Halloween season, and people just start burning down, abandoned buildings. It was the whole place. It's been a lot going on there, and you think about the quote unquote glory of Detroit as it was, as technological. I mean, Ford, GM, Chrysler.
Oh man.
And the companies and car companies that came and went, and all the suppliers there. I mean, there is a reason why Motor City, Detroit, is still Motown. Now you got to look at Oakland County, Wayne County, Macomb County. A lot of that work has moved out to the counties. It's trying to come back now. Of course, we got international auto companies there now as well. But it's one thing to go from it was glory. I mean, it was a robust, booming city, and the way the cars were just rolling off the assembly line, it brought up African American workers from the South. Ford had a big part of that. And bringing people in, and then of course, things went to hell. There were the race riots and in the late '60s and the civil rights movement, and there is still, even to this day, I think, there's certainly legacy hangovers from that time. Earl, I mean, my parents moved out back to Wisconsin in the early '70s. And it's not like they were even downtown, but there were, I remember even as a kid growing up, everyone's like all concerned about the crime and everything going on in Detroit. And now you see this resurgence in business, in industry, in art, in reinvestments into the buildings. And then we have, top it all off, an excellent Detroit football team going to play the Packers at Ford Field this evening, 7:15 local time here in Wisconsin. And Earl, the Lions are favored by 3.5. How are you taking it, man?
I'm the Lions, man. Yeah. Lions all the way, man. you talked about when you talk about Detroit is the fondness of it. I was in the auto industry for 34 years, and so here in Milwaukee, and so I know what Detroit was. And the thing I'd say to you about Detroit is, Joe Biden and the Democrats deserve some credit because they start working on bringing some of those automobile jobs back to this country. I don't want people to forget that while they're talking about all the things that Trump is going to do and all of those different things. Joe Biden did some things, Dominic, that people won't really talk about until many years from now. And bringing back some of that auto industry. Dude, who was it? Was it Donald Trump who initially, when Barack Obama said, I'm going to save the auto industry, it was Donald Trump who said, let it die.
Yeah.
You remember that?
Yeah, yeah.
Man, come on, man.
And saving the auto industry, if I recall at the time, was controversial. But here's here is the deal. Those were loans, right? And you can't just let this entire industry fold like that, and they were loans, and they were paid back billions of dollars. And I'll contrast that with, Earl, what the trade war that Trump got into with China, which is as part of that war, they stopped buying ginseng and other items from our farmers here in Wisconsin. And what did Donald Trump do during election season? Well, he went to the pocket to billions of dollars, like $20 or $30 billion over a couple of years, and just gave it to the farmers. No loans. No payback, no nothing, no interest, just a handout to the farmers. And there's a difference.
You know, Dominic, the fact that we understand, we know those things occurred. There are many people who don't even know that happened. And yes, imagine had Barack Obama not bailed out the auto industry,
right,
had he done what Donald Trump said, do, let him die, where we would be now. Yeah. But anyway, Detroit Lions. I'm sorry, Packer fans, Detroit Lions.
Sorry, Packer fans. And I'm taking the line at 3.5, 855-752-4842, 855-757, hanging out with our pal Earl Ingram, just on the board as well. All right, let's do a little politicking, Earl. We haven't gotten there quite yet. And you and I haven't spoken in a couple of weeks, so it's great to catch up, man. I always love talking to you. The Joe Biden pardon of Hunter. You know, this thing, I've been struggling with it. I'm not a fan of it. And now, you know, some of the headlines I'm seeing is that they're potentially talking about preemptive pardons for potential Donald Trump targets. You know, think Adam Schiff, Liz Cheney, Anthony Fauci, for example. And I don't know, it's one thing for Hunter to be pardoned. I mean, he actually had specific crimes he was convicted of. You know what I mean? And aside from the fact that, Biden said he wouldn't do it and then he did it, you know that's problematic. But what did Adam Schiff do? What did Liz Cheney, what does Anthony Fauci do that would deserve not only a preemptive pardon, but any sort of prosecution by an incoming administration? You know, this is very hairy, and it seems to me it's going to open up the doors, not that Trump needs any permission, for him to start doing that. Everyone's going to start going to be pardon wars. What's your sense, Earl, if I may, on the president's pardoning of his son?
You know, Dominic, you know, I'm not saying it was the right thing to do. They really wanted to, they were going to really do some horrible things to Hunter Biden under Trump and the Republicans in charge. They've been wanting to get at him. So President Biden could not leave his son at the mercy of the people that are coming in, because they, now listen, Hunter Biden did some things that he should pay a price for. You can't say to the American people who don't have money that if I catch you stealing a candy bar and we're going to call the police and the police are going to come and get you, we're going to lock you up and then you're going to go to jail and you're going to go and you didn't pay this, so we're going to lock you up. But then somebody who has all the money in the world commits crimes. And then we want to talk about our great justice system.
Right.
The double standards have to stop. And so that was a double standard with Hunter Biden. But that then doesn't mean that now it's okay for Donald Trump to release all the people from January 6th, because that's what he's getting ready to do. And he's saying, see, Joe Biden did it for Hunter Biden, so I can do it. Pretty soon he's going to be doing that for what was the old governor's, the mayor, Rudy Giuliani.
Oh, right.
He's not, you think he's going to leave his boy Rudy Giuliani out there, man? He's going to pardon him. He's going to pardon all sorts of people, and he's going to predicate it on the fact that Joe Biden, you know, pardoned Hunter Biden. And Dominic, they're not the same. These things aren't the same.
They aren't the same, and it's concerning that once again a politician says one thing and then goes and does another thing. And I've said this before, it doesn't matter if it's someone I voted for or not. That hypocrisy bothers me. As a father, sure, I get that, but why put yourself out there and say that? You know what I mean? And then go ahead. So maybe he was thinking, you know, Kamala was going to win and Kamala would pardon him. You know, yep. I mean there could have been all sorts of things, but I think the greater point that you make, Earl, that I think is very important is the two-tier justice system. Here we go. Another rich white guy, you know, convicted of crimes, getting away with it. And it's, you know, Donald Trump getting away with it. It's Hunter Biden getting away with it. It's right. It's left. You know, the difference is rich.
Yes.
Rich and white, but rich. That's the difference. If you're rich, it is a different justice system for you and us, the rest of us, the people. We don't have to put up with that. Yet we do. And what do we have? We have a billionaire cabinet coming in under Donald Trump. Folks, you're listening to the Dom Salve Show. That's Earl Ingram. Join us, 855-752-4842.
Looking for the game? Find us over the air for sports coverage on Civic Media stations.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
We know what happened the last time Trump applied this ham-fisted tariff policy. He had to write a $12 billion check to farmers because he crushed so many of our agricultural exports. and drove up the cost of single-family homes because the cost of lumber from places like Canada went way the frick up. Everything got more expensive.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
James Rundy.
I decided to throw off all my wild and crazy short film ways and make a straight up documentary about my uncle. He was one of the small time dairy farmers across the state that were kind of the backbone and why we got our state's name, America's Dairyland.
It was called The Last Milk. Have you ever milked a cow?
Oh, yeah.
I'm curious, but I'm scared to do it because I'm worried I might like it.
All right. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Wisconsin's home for daily conversations about the state's latest headlines and stories. Weekday mornings from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health. But you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
Listen to sports coverage from Mike Clemens on Civic Media stations all across Wisconsin.
Welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842. Hanging out with Earl Ingram. Got Jess P.S. on the board and you on the lines and the texters, 855-75-CIVIC. You know, some folks on the Hunter Biden pardon, you know, again, I totally understand that there are obviously lots of different angles to look at this. And you see what's coming in with Donald Trump. But, you know, it's a big boy game, Earl. You know, if you're gonna be president of the United States, you know that means you're putting yourself out there, and not just yourself, your family. You know, everyone that goes along with that. That's part of the deal. You know, and if you're gonna be, you know, crack smoking, you know, tax evading, you know, there's a price to pay for that. As you mentioned, you know, some poor kid, you know, stealing a candy bar. You know, if he's on probation for something else. I mean, think about anytime probation is violated, you know, for something stupid and they get thrown in. Maybe there was a serious offense at one point, but now you're on probation, you're on paper, and you do anything wrong. Well, now you're back in. But if you're wealthy, if you're connected, you don't have to worry about those things because you can get pardoned. Hell, Donald Trump pardoned Jared Kushner's father. Right. Who's now going to be the ambassador to France, was just had their government blow up because they have a no confidence vote going on over there. Part of our concerns about democracy. But another billionaire, you know, Kushner. Now, he actually apparently did a couple of years. So he was pardoned after the fact, Earl. But the story on the things that he did. I believe it was tax evasion as part of it. But he also had a beef with his brother-in-law, and there was a thing going on. Then he set up a honeypot, had a hooker sleep with him, and caught it all on tape, and then sent the video to his sister. I mean, what kind of weird, twisted? You know, what is going on? And this is now going to be our ambassador to France. And Donald Trump's like, well, this is Ivanka's father-in-law, so I'm going to give him a pardon because he's a billionaire buddy. I mean. It's like those shows back in the like Dallas, or you know, some of those shows in the 70s and 80s. It is just obscene beyond belief. And now we're going to have a cabinet full of billionaires, and we're going to have some apparently maybe some sexual assaulting, drinking, partying members. So this Pete Hegseth guy, the former Foxy guy, is on his last legs, apparently, if you believe the reporting for head of Department of Defense. But what qualifies him or Cash Patel to run, you know, the FBI in the first place, Earl? It's just, how do you feel that the, this administration is coming together, Earl?
You know, Dominic, there's several things. First off, if the American people don't understand that when you allow anybody, although we already know it, it's been that way, justice is for those who can afford it. It's always been that way. It will always be that way. And our nation needs to stop running around pointing his finger at other nations and talking about their shortcomings, because you don't have to look too far and too deep to find out the skeletons that are in the closet of our nation. This is before the entire world. The entire world sees this, and it's not like it used to be. They're looking at our nation and they're saying, how can you dare talk about our nation? You talk about a puppet government. The United States now is a puppet government. Those men and the people that Donald Trump has chosen, only somebody who would themselves be kind of deranged would they select the kind of people that he chose. Nobody else. Come on, man. He looked at these people and he knew. I'm sure when he looked at him and he said, yeah, I guess Matt Gaetz. Oh, yeah, that's the guy.
That's my guy.
Yeah, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. Yeah, that's Linda McMahon from the WWE. Yeah, we'll put her in charge of education. And so either he's insane, Donald Trump, or this shows his lack of character, because he chose people. Well, he doesn't have any character himself, so I guess we couldn't expect him to dominate, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then the worst part about it is I'm hearing other Republicans say, when they put the microphone in front of their face, we've got to give Donald, the president, what he wants. What? Less than 50% of the people in this nation voted for Donald Trump.
Right.
He didn't get 50%. So let's stop talking like he's got a mandate and like he got this overwhelming mandate, Dominic, to put all these people in these positions and really destroy the democracy that many of us hold dear.
855-752-4842. You're absolutely right. And it's come in to clearer focus now that the numbers are coming in. Saw this yesterday from the New York Times. The final House race in California was called, going to a Democrat, cementing a 220 to 250 majority for Republicans in a margin that's now slimmer than they have. Currently, it's at 220 and 213. But, Earl, those margins will erode even further in January when Stefanik of New York and Mike Walls of Florida resigned to take jobs in the Trump administration. Gates, well, he resigned and he said he's not going to return. So then Republicans would be down to a 217 to 215 majority. And according to the New York Times, on par with the narrowest controlling margin in House history. And they couldn't get things done last time around with a 220 to 213. So what is the expectation going to be for this time? So I got to see, here's my point. Knowing that the billionaires have just stopped, paying folks to do the job. They're just going to do the job themselves. You know, they're getting rid of the middleman. You know, back in the day, they'd have the billionaire pay the politician. Politician go do the dirty work. Now they're just like, well, it's just like celebrity politician. I'm a billionaire, so I want to do the work. I don't need to pay anybody else to do it. I'm rich. I'm smart. I'm going to be the guy or the gal to do the job. And it seems like you couldn't pick more people to blow it up, because that's what they want to do, Earl. Blow up the system, quote unquote. What a scary, scary premise. But it's also a fool's game, because they're not going to be able to get anything out of that House, given how the megas are acting. Folks, this is the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842.
covering the games and biggest sports news. Listen daily to Mike Clemens on Civic Media.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
For 92.7 WMDX News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. The U.S. Supreme Court is deciding whether to review a Wisconsin case over the issue of gender identity in schools. Judith Ruiz Branch reports.
The case Parents Protecting Our Children versus Eau Claire Area School District asked to strike down a school policy that the parents believe infringes upon their right to make major health-related decisions with their children. The district says its policy was created to provide direction and resources for transgender students and students with questions about their gender identity, including when they don't feel safe or accepted at home. Attorney Haley Archer with the ACLU of Wisconsin says the focus should remain on the children.
I believe one of the reasons that this question is debated is because it is complex. We're balancing the rights of parents, we're balancing the rights of schools, we're balancing the rights of students.
The parent group argues the school policy encourages kids to hide important aspects of their health, like changing pronouns at school. Lower courts have dismissed the case because none of the group's children are involved. Luke Berg with the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty represents Parents Protecting Our Children.
Children who have struggled with this and later come out of it have said, it was not actually helpful for me to have adults around me affirming that I was really the opposite sex. It actually confused me further. And so this can do harm to children. And in our view, that's why parents need to be involved.
The Wisconsin Office of Children's Mental Health reports nearly half of LGBTQ youth in the state seriously consider suicide. Nationwide, those rates drop significantly for transgender and non-binary youth who feel accepted at home, according to the Trevor Project. For Wisconsin News Connection, I'm Judith Ruiz Branch. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
And this is Civic Media News. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. If it's huge blockbusters or holiday films you're looking for in theaters this weekend, you will have to see films that are already released. But if you're not ready to throw yourself into the world of holiday films just yet, or are in the mood for some offbeat, quirky flicks, this could be your weekend. Comedy sci-fi Y2K rolls out Friday and takes us back to 1999, when the world was in a panic over what would happen when the clock struck midnight on New Year's Eve. The film follows two high schoolers who crash a New Year's Eve party and end up fighting for their lives. If you're in the mood for a Lou Diamond Phillips movie, and who isn't, check out the horror film Werewolves, which also stars Frank Grillo, but has not yet been reviewed. So beware. If you're looking for a comedy horror, the film Night opens this week in wide release as well. The film stars Amy Adams playing a mom who takes time off work to stay home with her kids, but finds herself turning into a dog. I did not misspeak. Despite the offbeat storyline, the film is pulling a 63 on Rotten Tomatoes. Let's go to the movies. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Civic Media is your spot for sports. From updates on your favorite teams, live broadcasts of the Packers, Badgers, Brewers, and Bucks, and local sports coverage in your community, we've got everything you need. Find a station near you at civicmedia.us or download the free app today. We'll have more news and talk coming up here on Civic Media's stream.
The John and Gordy Show.
Wisconsin's own Representative Derek Van Orden said he was okay with higher prices.
And if it means that I have to pay more for guacamole, but fentanyl poison does not come across the Canadian and Mexican border, I'm willing to pay more for guacamole.
So the choice is fentanyl or higher prices for guacamole.
Weekday morning, 6 till 8 on 92.7 WMDX and the Civic Media app. Earl Ingram.
Mr. Ben Wickler, he is running for the national DNC chair. The fundamental problem was the Democratic brand. Do you think that is the case more than the Harris campaign?
Core answer is yes. The Democratic brand, it's not what we necessarily do or say. It's what people have heard and internalized. And that to me is an argument for thinking about how and where we communicate, making sure we are present in places where people are thinking about stuff other than politics.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Hey, welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Got Earl Ingram joining us today. His show airs on the Civic Media Radio Network, 8 to 10 a.m. That morning shift. You can check him out Monday through Friday. Got JSPS on the board. You know, Earl, there's another guy that did a morning stint. His name was Pete Hegseth. And apparently that dude would show up hungover as hell. I'm like, you know what? That's why I do an afternoon show, Earl.
It's more practical.
Oh, a couple of the textures out there. Someone from the 414, where Biden did some things to help the auto industry and Trump never said let it die. What do you object to? Didn't say let it die. He said let it go bankrupt back in 2008. Let him go bankrupt. Let it go bankrupt. So not let it die. Let it go bankrupt. And, of course, what that would reorganizing the unions. I mean, what was the play on that? And who's buying, you know, cars from bankrupt auto companies? So that was the tenor. That was Donald Trump's thought back then. Just let it go bankrupt. Let him go. I mean, Donald Trump does know something about bankruptcy, Earl. but that would have been devastating for the Michigan economy.
Not just the Michigan economy. We're talking about the United States economy, and you know he can use semantics all he wants to. The guy who texts that, but the truth of the matter is, he was willing to allow all of those jobs and all of those people to lose their jobs and the hardship that would have went along with that. You know, we're seeing vestiges of it now. People talking about their families and struggling the way that they have. And that's happening at a time, Dominic, when the economy was under Barack Obama, was coming out of, you know, George Bush Jr.'s. <You're right. laughs> You remember him?
Oh, man, it's the same play, man. You know, the Republicans get in, they drive it to the ground, and then, you know, the Dems come back and try to, you know, and then what happened? And then ultimately have to go to pocket. You know, we got to go tap into the vein and put some money out there to clean up what the Republicans did. The Hill reporting on this, I guess this was back in 2016 when Obama was talking about, and he was on the campaign trail, and he referenced Donald Trump said he should let it go bankrupt. Also found that in CNBC back in 2008. But the statistics coming out of that time, they said that the U.S. auto companies would go broke and would have cost